This is Dr. Val Jones, founder of GetBetterHealth.com. This evening, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Sunday, January 24th, I had an interview with Dr. Paul Auerbach directly from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. He is there now as the administrator of the largest hospital in Port-au-Prince and reported back about what he's seen on the ground. The following podcast is a recording of our Skype interview. The quality of the sound isn't perfect, but I think you'll be amazed by what he's been through and what he's experiencing, and I wanted to share that with you on the blog today. Dr. Paul Auerbach is a blogger at Healthline.com. He is also a contributor to my blog at GetBetterHealth.com. Paul begins the podcast by explaining why he wasn't able to call me when he first arrived in Haiti.
You know, part of the reason I didn't call Val is trying to keep my emotions in check. I was afraid if I got on there and started talking about everything those first few days, I promised. I didn't know what you were going to do with that thing, and I didn't want to like be sounding like a softie because I'm not. It's a tough.
Oh, Paul. I can't imagine what you must be experiencing and all the horrors that you've seen. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know what? That's what we train for. You know, this is our duty, calling. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I mean, this is what we do, right?
Right.
So we're in here doing it. Val, I just got to tell you, this is unlike anything you can even imagine. We watched the earthquake. I was sitting in a faculty meeting watching the news the day after the earthquake, and Bob Norris and I just looked at each other and walked outside, and I said, "We got to go." And he said, "Yep, we got to go." And so International Medical Corps out of Los Angeles, Bob had done work for them before teaching, not disaster response, but teaching in Iraq. So he knew those guys, and they asked if he could put together a team really quickly from Stanford, and so we did. We brought four physicians and four nurses. I flew out before they did because I actually had a meeting in Miami, so I wanted to get out there for that and see if I could snag that before I came over here. But they needed me right away, so I flew right into Santo Domingo, and then. I caught up with the team, and we got delayed going in. We were going to take a flight out of a military base, but we couldn't get out. And so we decided rather than take a chance day by day on getting flights, we were just watching what was going on, and we had to get our asses in there. And so we got a bus, and we talked to this Polish search and rescue team that wanted to get in there. So we had them as our bodyguards in front of us. It was an all-night, we were taking an all-night ride in there and figured we'd get to work in the morning. About an hour out of Santo Domingo, the radiator of the bus blew. I was sitting in the front seat. We filled up with steam, and we had to wait for another bus. And then we got in there. I'll tell you a funny not suitable for publication. I was kind of sick on the way in, and then I got there, and we just went to work. We went in, and we came into this university. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I connection's so bad. So we got into the university hospital, and you couldn't see the ground for the bodies. And these were first dead bodies, live bodies, people with amputations, horrible crush injuries, burns, disfiguring injuries, moaning, screaming. It's pretty bad. So that first day was pure clinical. We worked really hard. I'm so proud of the people we went with. We were doing everything imaginable. I mean, I lost count of the number of orthopedic procedures I did with fractured dislocations, open wounds, that already, because we were there on Sunday, so it was already, 4 days post-earthquake. So we were seeing wounds that were getting infected. There were maggots and, everything you'd imagine. So we did the best we could to try and see every single. There were approximately 750 to 800 patients on the compound, and we tried to see every single one of them, do the major procedures. There was an operating room running, because there were a few doctors there that had gotten there. I can only imagine what they faced the days before. And for the first few days, it was kind of nonstop. Save a limb or take a limb off, save a life. It was pretty grisly. And then, the second day was more of the same. The third day, we started getting people actually into sort of a semblance of a structure and award structure, and we thought we were, you know, making progress, but then we had an earthquake. We were waking at 6 a.m. to another earthquake. We went flying out of where we were sleeping. I mean, it was another, I've been in California. It was the real deal. And of course, by the time we got to the hospital, all the patients moved themselves out of the buildings and they wouldn't go back in. So now we had to get them all housed, and we didn't have adequate tents. The Norwegian Red Cross was putting up tents as fast as they could, didn't have enough. It was 90 degrees, and we started having people with heat stroke. And in the midst of heat stroke, I found my first case of tetanus, and, you know, babies were being born, and people were dying, and it was just unbelievable. The third day was pretty hard clinical, and then the USS Comfort came. Military came in and secured the place, which was a huge advantage. And then people could, I guess all of a sudden that next day they could start getting in because the NGOs started pouring in. Partners in Health had actually been there, but not with a big presence. You know, Doctors Without Borders, a tremendous number of NGOs came pouring in. And I have to tell you, I have never seen people work together so well in my whole life. First of all, under the most adverse circumstances imaginable. And then, I don't know, just because I was interacting with everybody, I've now been promoted to actually the lead physician for the whole hospital, coordinating all the NGOs, all the medical activities. And so I'm actually more of an administrator than a doctor. So I get up and I run my butt off from dawn till dusk, basically working on sanitation, getting nursing set up, getting tents up, getting communications in, you know, getting the ORs right. We have people coordinating transfers out to the Comfort and to other military facilities. We're working with, all the food distribution places. The Clinton Foundation is helping us with drugs and supplies. But you walk down this corridor in the compound past the nursing school that collapsed on all the nurses, and, you know, every day it just smells of dead bodies, and you pull out a dead body, and and you walk through the pediatric ward where all the kids are right now, at the pediatric tent, and, you know, you have row after row of kids missing 1 to 4 limbs. It's something else. We have supplies. I mean, you know, the first day, the first 2 days, you know, we ran out of narcotics, which was tough. We never ran out of antibiotics. But, I mean, we would draw 100 syringes full of ceftriaxone because of these wounds. So you'd fill your backpack full of ceftriaxone, full of morphine, dilaudid, and go out and medicate people and set their fractures and give them a shot and put tape on it and mark it when you've been there. And, you know, so you could come back the next day because the patients moved themselves around. And, so you could know what you did until you could get them to the operating room and start the debridement process. And, you know, then patients would, you know, wounds would get gangrenous and, you know, it was, you know, and this hospital was not in great shape before we got there, believe me. So we're basically building a medical center, and we've done it in under a week. We now have plenty of supplies. We're missing some big equipment. You know, we need like an autoclave, and, you know, we need stuff. But in terms of drugs, you know, people have poured in the drugs. So we're not hurting for drugs. I'm working on 24-hour nursing. It's not to say that it's a great situation. You know, I mean, the people, we've seen the first wave, but I'm sure the second wave will come. And today, like in our ER function, we saw 94 new patients, and probably a third of them were people with significant injuries from the earthquake that just hadn't made it in yet. So we got roving teams through International Medical Corps going out to the communities. This is like being an intern 10 times over in terms of the, you know, I don't have that young body anymore. So we're pounding it.
Is it safe?
I'm sorry, you have to yell at me a little bit.
Is it safe? Are people being violent with the frustration? Do you need?
Yeah, we've got the army. We've got a company in there, so we have significant force inside. It's not been an issue for us. The presence of the U.S. military has been remarkable. They have supported us with security, supplies, medical personnel, transportation. It's been a very, very supportive process. And, you know, when they came in, we were in there for 3 days without security, and I didn't worry about it. But once they got in there, you know, there's there was no gate control. We didn't have the, you know, four of us doctors and four nurses and the other people that were in there, we didn't have the ability to do that. So we just worked, you know. And the but once the military came in, it helped us kind of restore order. But it wasn't that they were restoring order because it was, like, lawless. It was just, you know, crowd control, and just having them there kind of makes people settle down a little bit. They've been great, just great. And, you know, the Haitians have been, you know, the people that have been injured are unbelievable. I mean, these are the toughest people I've ever seen. I mean, these are people that have lost their families. Most of them have lost their homes. They've got horrible injuries, and every single one who's capable of saying thank you says thank you. I mean, you know, I can go a long period of time in an emergency department in the United States without a patient saying thank you, and every single one of these people say thank you. So it's pretty amazing.